Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla b'sosho choli Yisrael b'korov. We're going to conclude our discussion today about covering the bread during benching. Yeah, we've been learning various inyonim, and now we're going to talk about, just to finish off, we've discussed a number of things as to why we do it and what the chashash is, etc. The Shari Tshuva says that he says he doesn't understand how it can be conceivable that, yeah, we said that the problem is shaloi yire ha lechem boshtoi, that the lechem kaviochel is embarrassed because you're using wine as an object of, as a simon, in order to give chashivas to a brocha, whether it's a bris, whether it's a pidyon haben, whether it's benching, whatever it is, you're using wine, and wine is number three, is down the list in the Peiros she nishtabchu behem Eretz Yisrael, and the bread is number one. Chitim, Eretz Chitos Oiro, Chito is number one, and therefore the bread says you should stand at a pidyon haben, yeah, and you should make the brocha on chwais, you should be holding a bread when you do the pidyon haben. You should be holding the bread, a bread when you do bris milo, and you should do it, yeah, and therefore in situations where I've got a cup of wine, and there is a bread nearby, I cover the bread. So if I'm going to bench, and the reason why I want to bench alakos is because yain is samach levavenoish, therefore, and it gives a chashivas to the brocha, so I want to bench on the kos yain, but the bread is there, and the bread kaviyachol is being embarrassed because we're leaving the bread behind, and we're skipping the bread, and we're making a brocha on the wine, which is embarrassing for the bread. Says the Shari Tshuva, none of this makes sense to him. Says why? Because I just made hamotzi on the bread. I've been eating bread during my suda. I've given the chashivas already to the bread. What's the bread got to complain about, kaviochel? And again, all of this about the bread doesn't feel anything, the bread's not going to come into us, etc. It's all about the way we ought to feel. We ought to be sensitive. We ought to think about things in this way. So therefore, says the Shari Tshuva, the bread's got no reason to be embarrassed when I made hamotzi on the bread, and I've been eating bread throughout the Suda. Now I'm at the end of the Suda, I'm about to bench. Okay, but I've already given the chashivas to the bread. Why should the bread be embarrassed? And therefore he says that it's nothing to do with the boshtoi shel halechem, although it's a loshon of the Gemara. He says it's all to do with, you know, in case it's all a chashash of whether or not the bread is going to get wet because of my machronim. Yeah, the bread, you might splash the mayim achronim, you might spill the mayim achronim, therefore cover over the bread. Of course, the nafkamina will be as to whether or not, how long you have to cover the bread for. According to Shari Tshuva, that the risk is mayim achronim, only during mayim achronim. In theory, after you've washed mayim achronim and you've taken the water away from the table, you could bench with the bread being magula, even alakois. And obviously, according to the Talmud, that you might stab yourself because you're so upset when you say Rachim No and all that sort of thing, and none of that will apply according to the Shari Tshuva. And the other nafkamina will be that the Poskim are done. What would be the halacha if you put the bread, or you cover the bread? Let's say you put the bread back in this plastic bag, so you've got a clear plastic over the bread. So the question now is, the bread can still kaviyochel see the wine, if you talk about the bread being embarrassed. On the other hand, you've got the protection from the water. Yeah, so according to Shari Tshuva, clear plastic would be perfectly okay. According to the others, they might say that clear plastic won't do because the bread can still be embarrassed because it can see through the clear plastic that you're using a kos yayin over benching instead of being mechabed the bread first. And therefore, there's a machloikes. From Nissen Karolitz in Chut HaShoni says, nylon ain't a moil. He says, a nylon bag, a clear plastic bag, will not be good. And Rishlam is Amalaya Bachot Gehalten as nylon is good enough, even a clear bag. The fact is that the bread is mechusa. Yeah, you don't have to go further, etc. He says simply that if the bread is covered, if the Shloyer, thing Boshto requires that the bread is covered, this is called a covering, and therefore even clear plastic will do.
Started at Faraway, Northwest London, Friday, Yud Zion 7, 13th of June, Rabbi Dov Ben Cowan, Shlita, from Bamidbar to the battlefield. This week's Torah is responsible for Fanny Newman, of course, of Mitzvah of Ari Newman, Nerio, who went to place last Shabbos, he wrote in Shishka, who wrote this kind of a Rav Nachas, Mimenim, who you say, Chalot to him, Skos Hashvim, Chayolim, Ba Milchamo, Sheach Zul, Bo Tein, Le Shalom, Bin Heiro.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai. So it's an interesting thing, isn't it, how when you come to prepare a shiur, I was in the Beis Midrash a couple of weeks ago, and it came to me that it might be an interesting topic to discuss what we're going to be discussing today. And as I kind of left shul this morning, I don't know who's heard the news or who's aware of the news, but this is certainly what we'd call an Eis Tzara. And it just so happens that what I'm going to be talking about today is totally pertinent. I don't know if everyone's heard the news and knows. And just, I guess, if anyone watching, that Israel overnight attacked Iran. And Iran has currently sent around 100 drones and other missiles over to Israel. And my wife, I was going through this shiur with my wife last night, I was telling her what I was going to be speaking about, and she woke up, she said to me this morning, look, they were blowing trumpets last night at the Kotel. She goes, it's amazing how you came to think of this idea, and this mamash pertinent, it's right now, happening right now. And the question is like this. In this week's parsha, Baloyska, we have a mitzvah. It's in Perek Yud. V'chisavo milchama ba'artzichem ala tzara tzorei eschem v'aroisem b'chatzoy tzoreis v'nizkartem l'fein Hashem elokeichem v'nashatem ma'oiveichem. If you go to a war in your land against an adversary who attacks you, you must blow, make this sound. You have to marin, you have to blow this truer sounds from the chatzoy tzoreis, from the trumpets, to be remembered fairly in front of Hashem and be saved from the enemies of Klal Yisrael. And then the second pasuk of that is V'yom Simchaschem. There's just a few more. Sorry, there's a few more spelling. V'yom Simchaschem of Moadechem v'Ashechachem Katem Chatzoytzoyz Al Loisechem v'Azivchei Shalmechem V'Lechem Zikon Lifnei Elokechem Ani Hashem Elokechem. So on the joyous days and Simchaschem and the festivals, Rosh Chodesh, etc., we have to blow on these silver trumpets, which at the beginning of the parak is talked about that Moshe was commanded to make them. They have to be miksha from Kesef. So the question I was asking at the time, I said, well, what's the story today? Should we be blowing trumpets now? There's a war. Eretz was invaded by cruel enemies. And there's a war going on right now. So should there be blowing of trumpets? I spoke to a good chaver, Rabbi Moshe Brandeis Shlita, about this. I said, you know, maybe we should be blowing trumpets. And he said, oh, I was in Eretz Yisrael last summer, I was at the Kotel. I don't know how many people can see this, but again, we've got the video as much as possible. He finished the Neitz Minyan, and at the end of the Neitz Minyan, they were blowing silver trumpets at the Neitz Minyan at the Kotel. So this is, for those who can see, now overnight, they were blowing silver trumpets last night at the Kotel, and I asked around quite a few people. I said, well, what's happening now? And is it still happening? And I have it on very good information that every morning there's a minyan in the tunnels, within the tunnels, Rav Getz is Zatzal's minyan, where they have they blow chatzotzos every morning, right now, since the war began. They've been blowing silver trumpets. I was trying to check, and this would be pertinent to the rest of the shiur, whether it was Kohanim, they've asked Kohanim to blow it. I couldn't get the information, I'm sorry, I've been trying for the past 2 days just to find people in Eretz Yisrael to check. If anyone at home wants to phone in, text us live here at Torah Way to let us know. But I don't know, but I would like to presume that it's Kohanim that are doing it. So the question is it the right thing to do? Should we be blowing Chatzotus Bizman Azeh, Bimuchad, right now, it's Tzara, there are missiles coming to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah, surely. Now, let's take a look at the raid, let's see inside. In Egypt, there's a place called the Machon HaMikdash, the Temple Institute, if you've ever heard of it, in Yerushalayim, where they gather together all the kelim, they've got all the begadim, they've got everything ready. And I was doing a search yesterday and saw that they are raising money currently. This has been since the past year. They're raising money to be able to send silver trumpets, the chatzotzos, to all the IDF battalions, so the soldiers, before they go to war, should blow these silver trumpets. Is it right? Is it wrong? Are they doing the right thing or wrong thing? This is what we have to understand. However, there's a lot of raid on this. There's lots and lots and lots, and as usual, when I come to write and prepare these shirim for Torah Way, there's so many avenues to go down, and I have to choose one. So you'll have to bear with me. There's lots to discuss. There's many avenues, but I've decided to just explain one, go through Mahalach in one way. Let's go see some of the raid and understand, is it a mitzvah b'zman hazeh to blow silver trumpets when you're being attacked by your enemies in Eretz Israel? So let's go with source B. Let's look at the Rambam, and then we'll look at the Sefer Chinuch. The Rambam is a mitzvah aseh. In mitzvah aseh, he says that Nunter, he says that first is a mitzvah to blow the trumpets when they bring the korbanos. That's from the previous psukim in the parashah. You have to blow. We know that this says the Rambam very clearly. It's a mitzvah to blow when you bring when they brought the korbanos, they would blow with the trumpets. Many places he's been through this. Says the Rambam, you should be blowing with the trumpets. You were crying out to Hashem, we should be blowing silver trumpets. And that's this week's parsha, which is bringing the Rambam in here in Sefer Mitzvahs to show that it's a mitzvah to blow trumpets when you are being attacked. In Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Tainis, the Rambam continues. Interesting enough, and I'll come back to the end of this share this morning. He starts the introduction. He says it's a mitzvah. Say achas, it's one mitzvah. The heat lizok lifnei Hashem bechol eitz tzara gedoyla shita vola tibur. There's a mitzvah to cry out and scream to Hashem at any time where there's an eitz tzara. Now he's learning this from the pasuk of having silver trumpets, but he doesn't mention in the introduction that it's about having trumpets. It's just that there's a mitzvah to cry out to Hashem. We'll come back to that at the end. But reading on, it's Mrs. Asmin Atorah Lizog Velaria, the Chatzoy Tzoris al Kol Tzar Shla Tavol HaTzibor. Very clearly says in Hillel's Tainus, the Rambam is saying, it's a mitzvah to cry out, to scream with the chatzotus, we're the trumpets at these times, and he brings the pasuk and shows that's why. Kolomar al kol vashi yatzer, lachem kogon batzoyes v'deva, arba v'chutz, and all the terrible things, plague, famine, etc., etc. When these things happen, you have to cry out to Hashem, and you have to blow these trumpets. Very clear it seems to be. The Rambam is saying here. Let's just go quickly to the Sefer Chinuch and see him. It's source E. The Sefer Chinuch says it's mitzvah tikias bechatzotzos b'mikdash uva milchama. Right? Both in the mikdash and in times of war. The skor bechatzotzos b'mikdash bechol yom b'akiv kol korban, and they would bring the korbanos. Chmoy kem b'shas atzaros in times of distress. Shnema, we put the pasuk. Again, so it's the Sefer Chinuch has made it clear that there is a mitzvah to blow the shofar to blow the trumpets at the time of distress. Now the reason why I kind of slipped up there and said shofar is because this is where the raid takes a turn, and the big discussion is about whether or not the role of shofars play. Also, we know nowadays that oftentimes when there have been times of fasts or times of slichas, if anyone's ever been to Eretz Yisrael, they'll know sometimes they do the public fasts, that they'll blow the shofar. Where does the shofar come in? Interesting enough, you look in source D, and the Mishneh Torah there in Hilchos Tanis, where the Rambam continues, when he's talking about this mitzvah, he says, we have a mitzvah to fast in these times of tzara, till we get rachamim. We have to cry out with tefillah. Rambam says very clearly that it should be with chatzotzos. We should be blowing out with the trumpets. This is interesting. If it would be in the Beis HaMikdash, times it was in the Beis HaMikdash, you would have to do with both, and that comes from the pasuk which we're going to say tonight in Kabbalah Shabbos. Right, with the trumpets and with the shofars. But where do you do it? Lifnei Hamelech Hashem, only in front of the king. Where is that? That is in the Mikdash, and only then would you have the shofars and you'd have the chatzotus together. And this is kind of relevant, again, this is a longer road to go down. It's relevant, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about this. It says that in the Beis HaMikdash was the only place you would have shofars and chatzotzos together, but outside in Gvulin, you would only have one or the other. And this is where it seems to be this big discussion. If you look at source F, the Shulchan Aruch, and he's basing himself on the Ramban and the Ran. The Shulchan Aruch in source F says like this: Kshevish misanim and masriim al kshavim kach misanim al shah tzaros kagan akum shabau la aruch melchama Yisrael. Or you told me mas with HMRC. That's my varatzichem. The Israeli tax. But if oli kach mi adam and eretz oli gzo alehem tzara, in all these times of distress, at any time where we're in trouble, we have a mitzvah litanot ulariyah to fast and also to blow these sounds. We have to do this until we get rachamim from Shemayim. Everyone around also has to do the same thing. Interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk says, if you look in source G, a little bit later on, and see if you base, he says there, kol ish yesh batzara, any place where there's a danger, kol elu oisayim misanim v'zokim b'tefillah misanim u'masvim b'shofar. Not the chatzaitos. Says you do it with the shofar. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Achitavor hatzara, until it goes. Well, what's that? Why is he saying shofar? Not with chatzaitos. So there's a number of different avenues, like I said. It's based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban says there, the Atam shelo lamdu hatshua b'chatzaitos elev mikdash melchama shekol yisrael tulim b'davar. According to the Ramban, the only time we can do this thing with blowing with chatzotzos, with trumpets, is when it's kinufia, when all of Klal Yisrael are together, when there's the ma'amad of all Yisrael. And furthermore, the Ran says, when it's everyone, the whole of Klal Yisrael, it's a tzar for everybody, and there's only certain situations where we will blow with the chatzotzos. And since we can't do with chatzotzos, there are those who say that to do with the shofar instead. Either way, we have to understand that the Magen Avraham in source H, he comes along and he says very clearly, I don't understand. It makes no sense. It says very clearly in the Torah, you should be blowing the chatzotzos when there's a tzar. So why don't we do it? Source H, Ketav HaRambam, Mitzvasim in the Torah, Liz Oglari b'chatzotzos. It's very clear. Source H, Al Kol Tzar. Shalot avom shneema v'aroisim chatzoyes. She blowing with trumpets. He says, "Vani tama lama ein anu nohagin nitkoa beis tzara." V'afal bi she'ein tanisibu v'bavel. Yes, we don't anymore do the tanisibu like you learn in Maseches Tainis. The way we used to do it, we used to add the extra brachas in the Shmona Esra, and they would blow between each bracha and bracha. We don't do that anymore. He says, "Mikol makom halom midoraisa mitzvah litkoa below tainis." We have this mitzvah. The mitzvah of the Torah says to blow without a tainis. So the Magen Avraham says we should. Why don't we do this? He's tama. He doesn't understand why it is that we don't blow with the chatzotzos. If you look in source I, interesting that the Mishnah Berurah brings the Prima Gadim. He has an interesting take on why he would answer up the Magen Avraham. In source I, says the Mishnah Berurah, "Tama Magen Avraham lama ein anu no hagin nitzkoa ba'is tzara." I feel like Neymar the entire. Yeah, we just quoted the Magen Avraham. The Yesh Machroinim, says the Mishnah Berurah, "Eshetirtzu." The midoraisa mitzvah zuno hagrach beretz Yisrael. Okay, it's only something it's eretz Yisrael. V'dichtiv v'chisavo melchama. Where baratzachem? Only when it comes into your land. V'yesh shikasvu de'efshar da'af Yisrael dafka. Hishal tachas v'shusein. When there is a proper reshus of Torah leadership, when it's a proper ma'amad of eretz Yisrael. V'efshar od the dafka. Shagazera who are Rav Yisrael. That's only on Rav Yisrael, and only when those things happen, says the Prima Gadin, as and only then it's a Mrs. Asa Litkoa Aval Vilav Hachilo. So if it's not in Eretz Yisrael with Rav Yisrael, with most of Am Yisrael are affected, with the Rashus, the proper Rashus of Yisrael, then we don't. But it would seem to be that if it is the case, when we should blow with silver trumpets. Now again, this veers into the sort of political world. But whether or not we would say nowadays, because it's the question, those who just came in a little bit later today, we were asking the question, and there's a minyanim at the Kosel where they've been blowing silver trumpets Chatzotzis since the war began. They've been blowing trumpets. So we showed a video. You missed the video, Rob. You can watch it later. And overnight they were blowing these trumpets in the Kotel overnight when we heard that Iran was attacking. And maybe it's the right thing. It seems maybe according to Prima Gadim, it's a good thing. We should be finding Kohanim. They should be right now at the Kotel blowing these chatzotzis. That's what they should be doing. It seems to be. So the question is, why not? Why is it that this isn't something that seems to be that everyone is rushing to do? So we have to just look at a few. That again, there's lots and lots of opinions. There's lots of deus here. But just to look at a few. So the Igros Moshe, he brings down, he says in source J, if you look, he says, these aren't any just silver trumpets. Like I said, this Machon HaMikdash is making these chatzotzos. If you go online, you can check it out. And then they're asking for donations for people to send money to make as many chatzotzos as possible to send to every IDF battalion. They should have their own set of chatzotzos. But according to this, it should know it's only ones that will be used in the Mikdash. Now take a look, it's very interesting. He makes the diuk, go back again if you want quickly to source B. Originally, you saw the Rambam there in Sefer Mitzvahs. These are two mitzvahs. They're two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is, there was a mitzvah to blow the chatzotzis when they brought the korbanos. Nachon, right? There's a mitzvah to blow when the hakaras are korbanos. And there's another mitzvah to blow the chatzotzis in times of war. That's two separate mitzvahs. So why is he putting them all in one? He's bunched them together as one mitzvah's aser. And they want to learn from this that, no, the Rambam was saying this, that you only blow the chatzotzis kesef when it's in the times of the Mikdash with the chatzotzis of the Mikdash, it's nichlal together, and therefore you can't separate them both. It's only one mitzvah. Otherwise, why would he place them? It doesn't really seem to make sense why the Rambam would put them together. One mitzvah is aser. These are two separate mitzvahs. Blow the chatzotzis when taking the, and then the reasons why, you know, the few reasons where everyone would know if someone's standing outside and they'll know that right now they're bringing the korbanos on the mizbeach. Now I'll stop and I'll focus. That's one thing. There's another mitzvah. There's a tzar coming. We have to blow. We have to be aware of this. Two separate mitzvahs, but he puts it together as one. Says the Rav Moshe Feinstein that this is a clear thing that it should be only chatzotzis they use in the Mikdash. As he says, chatzotzis should be korbanos, chatzotzis should be a tzar specific mitzvah. So that's one reason. It seems to be that it has to be specific chatzotzis. You can't just go and make these silver trumpets and start blowing them. The Tzitz Eliezer, which is, it's more Heindeker, he says there, "Mitzlacheni im nishtamish b'hem, anu nitkalim ledas harem poiskim gam be'issu." You could potentially be doing an issu if you blow these trumpets. "Hemikoch zed, delo baru lanu oifin atziyasam." We don't know exactly how to make them. "V'gam lo neda im ha-kohanim shitko b'hem heimam yuchasim." So it goes into this area now of, do we have such a thing as kohanim miyuchasim? There's a couple of Kohanim here, at least one very choshev Kohen here. So the question is, do we have Kohanim Yuchasim? Do we have Kohanim Yuchasim today to do this? And who says, if it has to be Kohanim, and we don't know if it's them exactly, are they allowed to start blowing trumpets? That's what I was saying, I was phoning up, I spent 2 days now just trying to find, and maybe I was putting the wrong numbers, to check that they're making sure that the Chevra that are blowing the trumpets right now in Yerushalayim, are they making sure they're Kohanim? I presume they are. But I don't know. So it's going to be problematic if you're doing these things in the wrong way. Sheva Alta said, like, don't do it. You don't know if you're doing it the right way. Better to hold back and not to do it at all. That seems to be the psak of the Tzitz Eliezer. And that is the reason why he says not to do it. Bal kochenu hamaskana hamisbakeshes brurahi tiyesh lachria leshlila. We have to negatively say and say de'ein lanu lechadesh mitzvas keela midaseinu velo tov anu ma'avoseinu v'avoseinu hagedoylim shebechol adoyres me'az chorum beis avayis shelo ala alibam la'asot kuzot. They never did this. They never started blowing chatzotzos at the side of the Mikdash. or in Yerushalayim or anywhere else in Israel. There's no mikdash, you shouldn't be blowing trumpet, says the Tzitz Eliezer, and that should not be the case. Of course,
it's two sheets
of paper.
Two sides.
No, it's two sides and another two. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. There's two and another. It's I'm sorry. And the other one has, you'll see, it's a letter on the other side. I'm sorry. Apologies. Yeah, it's going around now. Interesting. They don't say a bracha.
Thank you.
There's no bracha. Maybe there should be. You would think that there would be a bracha. Our mitzvahs, tkias, turas, chatzoitras.
What does it say that has to be tekayim?
In the pasuk. No, that's what in the pasuk at the beginning seems to be saying. So it's the kohanim that have to be doing it. Yeah. Interesting enough, in the sefer in the shut of Lahoris Nasa, and that's Rav Nosson Gestetner, this great grandson of the Chasm Sofer, he rejects the idea of the kohanim. If you look in source L, he says here, shum says that if you think about it, a coin who does the avoider and he's not sure if it's a coin, but the evit, the avoider still works. So if it's talking about blowing a trumpet, it's not the avoider and the migdash, like, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to do it. And if it's a mitzvah's asset to try and blow this chatzotis, maybe we should still be doing it. Interesting enough, taking it to nowadays. So the Rav Chaim Shraga Feivel Frank, he was the nephew of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and there is a tshuva in 1970, funnily enough, not in 1967, you'd think it'd be then, but in 1970, there was a lot of, I think, terrorists that were coming into the area of Yerushalayim, and there was the war of attrition happening at the same time, and there he paskened, and he shows that the Beit Din Tzedek in Yerushalayim paskened at the same time, that they should blow the chatzotus. And they had a ma'amad at the Kaisa where they blew trumpets because of the situation. He says in the letter, Matzava Chamor Shikayam. I didn't bring it, so I should bring it. But he says, Kasha Am Hayoshev B'Tzion Nimtza B'Sakana Nilchama Im Edom Yishmael. This is 1970. Hechita Beit Din Tzedek B'Yerushalayim. Muslim Shavasein Agonim Ran Hagav Shmuel Salant and Hagan Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. The ones who started it, this is the Beit Din Tzedek, the Chadesh HaMitzvos Aser Litko B'Chatzotus. So according to him, he went through the raid and they decided that it's the right thing to do, to blow the Chatzotus. Of course, the Tzitz Eliezer, who was at the same time, is saying it's the wrong thing to do. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, the Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he also held that you should be blowing the Chatzotus. I saw a long shear from him. He was talking in 2000 when there was the Camp David Accords, when Ehud Barak was with Yasser Arafat, Yimach Shemo, and they were having this whole thing. They were about to give up most, I think 90% of all of the Yehudim Shomron, and they did a Mamad gathering, a kiddush of the Koisel, and the pesach was to blow the Chatzotus, and he has a whole long piece there, that's why we have to blow the Chatzotus. And so therefore we see it's interesting, like, it's not entirely clear. There are those who are very, very strong that it's the right thing to do. You have the Tzitz Eliezer of Moshe Feinstein saying we shouldn't be mechadesh such a thing. It's interesting. I got this letter. If you take a look, we have it here. This is from Rav David Lau, the chief rabbi of Ashkenazi chief rabbi. And the letter that he writes here. This is, there's someone called Rav Yaakov Vanda, and I believe he's the Rav of this Machon Migdash, the Temple Institute. And he writes to him, last year he said that there was a ma'amad, that everyone went to the Koisel, and he was there, he said, and they blew the chatzotus. And the question was actually a psak, should we be doing it, or shouldn't we be doing it? And Rav David Lau writes back to Rav Vand, if you take a look, he brings different, like I said, there's lots more to talk about. There's a whole tshuva from Rav Eliyoshiv also about this. If you want to take inside, I can show you the Marimakom, where he says also you can come to Takala, it's a big problem, this could be something which is meant to be for the Mikdash, and you start taking, you might get Hana from it, and then you have all different types of problems. So Veleshev said not to do it. We saw already the Tzitz Eliezer, we saw Moshe Feinstein, and therefore, says Rav David Lau, in response to him, interesting wording. He says, "B'shule in the last two paragraphs, b'shule advarim hishtatafti b'tfila ha'umrit shinercha lidei harabanut harishin brachavat ha'koysel b'mar b'erev rosh chodesh shvat." That was last year shvat. B'tfila zut tiku taku b'chatzoyt. They blew on the trumpets. Thus, al pi harasein harasoy shel harishin l'tzion v'agon Mordechai Eliyahu zatzal. So he said they did it then because Rav Mordechai Eliyahu zatzal said you should do it. Lor halal efshar ve'chlet litkov beit sarah. Interesting, says you can do it. Ulam Elo Ros La Soisken, but I'm not gonna tell you to do it. Okay? You can do it, but I'm not telling you to do it. Vimilim Acheros, in other words, the Maase Velolalacha. If you need to do it, do it. We'll look away. It seems to be quite cloudy. If it's the right thing, it's the wrong thing. Should we, shouldn't we? Don't come out very clearly on this. Except again, we have very strong poskim who are saying that it's not the right thing to do. Just to kind of just say sort of here, again, whether you say we should be blowing with a chatzotzot or not, it kind of brings to mind what the Rambam is saying. If you look in Hilchos Tainis, if you look in Maseches Tainis, the whole sugi in Maseches Tainis, says again, 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 this is what I'm just really trying to reiterate when I'm speaking to people, that what's the whole purpose of the blowing the chatzotzot? What's the whole reason why we're doing it? What's the reason of making these sounds and crying out? Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need us not just done to sit and listen to musical instruments or to sit and just sit in timeless. There's a reason behind it. He wants us to do teshuva, to look inside, to wake up, like we brought the shofar and Elul. It's the same reason. And it's as the Rambam says, it's midas achzarias. It's a cruel thing to look at the world events, to switch on the news this morning and get all excited. I was walking in the streets on the way here, everyone's on their phones, everyone's checking out what's the latest, what's happening, what's going on. It's a wake-up call. Kodesh Baruch Hu is grabbing us and shaking us and waking us up. And if we don't take a moment to emerge from our sleep, then it's a waste of this ace. Sarah is to wake us up. And this is all I wanted to say. If you look at the chinuch that I brought at the beginning, if you take a look further on in the chinuch, and this is what I brought as the last source here for you, look at the words of the chinuch. I think it's really kedai to finish with these words. I saw from Rav Matisyo Solomon, as I told, he brings this down. This talking about tefillah. He says, "Meshosha mitzvah." Look at the chinuch. Lefi shebishas haKorban haTzvichim lechaven daatam yafe beinyano kmo sheyadu shu nifsal b'chashuv yiduos. Like you have to focus. You have to kavana. A person's bringing a korban in the base of Mikdash. You have to focus. Therefore, the chatzoytzvus is somehow it's like a do. Let's like be aware of what's going on right now. Focus on what's happening. The chatzot is waking up to have kavan. The gam came tzecha korban kavanah shlema lifnei Adon Hakol. Now the gam came beis hatzara. Tzarech adam kivun gadol v'ischanano lifnei boro shirachem alav v'yatzileu mitzaraso. A person going through it's also on a personal level. You're going through a personal tzara. But let's just talk about right now. Holding this morning, this Erev Shabbos, there is I don't know what the latest news is. 100 drones are on their way right now to Eretz Yisrael. There's drones, there's missiles that are heading right now. Now, do we just have like Shir Ma saying, I've got to just go? And people walking out of shul, we're all busy, we're all guilty, we've all done it. You're busy and you're davening. But it says to here in a time of Tzar, you have to have kavana. That's why you have to have these chatzotzos, the trumpets. Why? You're like a walking sleep. Nothing wakes you up more than the kolos of this sound. And this is what I was thinking. My wife actually asked me why chatzotzos not a shofar. And the truth is because the chatzotzos are much louder. They are. You've got this piece of silver, if you know how to blow it properly, that is loud. Anyone's ever been in a situation where you've heard proper trumpets playing? It's a strong, powerful sound. The chinuch is saying that the reason why we're told in this Eitzah to have the chatzotzos dafka is because it's such a loud, piercing sound. Inside, right? It's the loudest sound. And therefore, it's there to wake you up. You're thinking about all different things. What you're having about to have for lunch, what you're about to have for dinner, where you're going on holiday, and suddenly, You hear the sound of the chatzos verse. It's so piercing. It's so loud. You wake up from your sleep and you say, this is a time of distress. This is a time of tzar. And it's not just about opening. Yes, it's opening up the Tehillim, and yes, it's going together and davening. But it's more than that. And let's remember what the Rambam is telling us: that you have to look inside and understand that Hashem is grabbing us and waking us up and shaking us and saying, "Come and do tshuva. Come and work out what you need to do as Chal Yisrael to come back to me. To come back to me properly. Let the sound of Chatzotis pierce you and wake you up to this." So the bracha should be the end. We see the pasuk brings the together that v'chisevo milchama ba'artzechem, and then it says uviyom simchaschem v'moadechem v'rashei chodsheichem, in the good days and the happy days Hashem yiratzon, that we, whether or not we are blown with chatzotzus, we should understand the message of the chatzotzus, which is the piercing sound. Wake up, understand that Kosh Baruch Hu is trying to wake us up, and if we do that, if we do it properly, if we do the tshuva, Yiratzon, that will come to that time where there will be many, many days of Simcha and Moed, but we'll be able to blow Chatzotzes of the Korbanis in Yerushalayim. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So after that wake-up call, we will now proceed to somewhere a little deeper into the Seder. And the Pusik speaks, well, one of the ways of Tshuva is Tikkun Amidas, and the Rabbeinu Shlomo, through the Torah, has given the message about something to do with Tikkun Amidas, namely Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says there in the Pusik, Vo'ish Moshe unov mo'od mikol udam asher al p'nei u'atomo. The humility of Moshe was so outstanding that it was unsurpassed by any single person that walked the face of this earth. That's quite the title. The word mo'od is mentioned there. And since we're in the period of Kirkuvas, who also echoes it with the same description, doubled up, Mo'oid, Mo'oid, Havai Shval Riach, person who is able to be very, very humble. And it's very interesting, because we just passed Shavuos now, which was the time when Moshe Kibbutz Torah Masinai, which is actually the very beginning of Kirkuvas, which begs the question, why doesn't it say Moshe Kibbutz Torah B'Sinai? But Mi Sinai is because all the children that come home with this famous song about Har Sinai being the smallest of all the various mountains, and therefore Moshe took a page out of that copybook and recognized that he was Kibbel Torah, that the essence, before you receive Torah, you have to know that there is an element of humility and being humble in order to be a Keli and a recipient for that. Hall of Tanakh, there's four characters which are enumerated as being humble, specifically by Chazal. One of them was famously Avraham Avinu, the first one, who described, "V'unochi ufo v'efe," he felt he was nothing more than dust and ash. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen, the two brothers who shortly in Parshas Koach, I think it is, they say, "V'anachnu mo," who are we? Insignificant individuals, and they felt, although they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, but who are we? Vanachnimu. And finally, David HaMelech, who in Tehillim describes himself as V'loichi Sula'as V'loish, I'm no more than a mere, meager, crawling worm. I don't even consider myself a person. You take those four names, and you've got Moshe, and you've got Aharon, and you've got Avraham, and you've got David, works beautifully with an acronym of Mo'oid, Mo'oid, Havei Shval Ruach, because Mo'oid is Rosh HaTaivas, Moshe, Aharon, and Avraham, and David. So, that is echoed by the Indian of Anivas. You know that, again, going back to Pirkovis, you've got five Talmidim, which were disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and it says there, "Hu ho yu moine shvuchom." He used to enumerate their praises. Now, it wasn't so long ago that we were in the midst of the Oymer, and we were busy with the thousands and thousands of Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva and Nebuchadnezzar that perished during this period.
And according to Seyda Deiros, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai actually lived for 120 years, it stands to reason that he had accumulated more than 5 disciples in his lifetime. But Mishnah says in Uvas, Chamisha Talmidim Hoyolol Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hu Yomoy Neshvucho. But in line with what we've just said now, it's beautiful. There were maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of Talmidim, but each one of them was pretty much aware of his attributes. It was not something that was foreign to him. He knew he had this mala, and he had this characteristic, and this plus. But there were 5 particular Talmidim that were completely unaware that they had malas, because they lived in a world of anivus and of humility. And therefore, the Chamish Talmidim Shehoyu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who hoyu moine shvucham, he was the one that enumerated their praises, because they didn't enumerate their own praises. They weren't even aware of their own praises. They were so humble that they didn't even know shvucham. So therefore, he was the one that was moine shvucham in order to highlight that. And there is a beautiful message which is given by Rabbi Moshe Leib Sasseh, who says that when Yosef HaTzadik, alias the viceroy of Mitzrayim, when he went and he accused the Shvutim of having stolen the Becher, then Binyamin was found to be the culprit, and they gave a psak, of course, the one that stole the Becher should be put to death, and the rest of them should go become slaves. But the gentleman, quintessential Yosef HaTzadik, said, no, that's not justice. The one that stole the Becher, he should become an Evet. And you can go home, Ali L'shulam El-Avicha. The Lushan of the Pusik is, Hu isha shenim tzu aguvia biyudai hu yeli Evet. Zut Reb Moshe Leib Sasseh v'amur dikadehe. You have a decanter, a jug, and you have a cup, which is a receptacle. You pour from the jug into the cup. It stands to reason that the jug is always above and the becher is always below. You cannot possibly attempt to pour into a cup if you hold the cup here and pour the jug here. The only outcome will be a very badly stained tablecloth, which your wife will be not terribly pleased about. That means that in order to be a mekabel, you have to be lower. In order to be a receptacle, you have to be submissive, because you have to have the middle of anivus. And if you feel and believe that you are in a place where you are mekabel, and you can only do so if you are lower than the mashpia. Who is asher nimtza gevir biyudei zot Moshe Leib Sasseh? The man who is the beginner of the gevir, of the becher, of the receptacle, who yeli eved, he is the one who's got the credentials of being an eved Hashem, because he is the one that can submit himself, subjugate himself to be in a place of a receptacle. So, since we're subject of Moshe, I'll conclude with one great ish Moshe unav moed was mentioned before in the psukim, namely none other than Reb Moshe Feinstein, who was once in the Catskills in a summer holiday, and when he was there, apparently there was only a minyan on Shabbos in his particular colony. The reason for that was because the people that came there came primarily Shabbos, and in the weekdays they weren't there. However, in a colony lower down, there was a Chassidish Oilam there, and there they had minyanim 3 times a day, and Reb Moshe went to daven there. There was only one hitch. Since it was as a richtige ingerische colony, and they there daven mincha when many of us were just about daven ma'arav b'dievet, then he asked, would it be possible for him to have a minyan before the shkia? And the Gabbai said, yes, of course, was the question of Reb Moshe Feinstein, and this is what he did. So there were 2 minyan. Came to mincha, it was Reb Moshe's minyan, and the second minyan. But there weren't that many people there, so sometimes minyan number 2 struggled because many of them wanted to daven with Reb Moshe at the earlier time. Could daven with Reb Moshe Feinstein. Vahi hayoin, that one whippersnapper entered the Beis Medrash when they were finishing in the first minyan, Shmelesu, and they had Chazuras Hashatz, and the Abdu Mabur Samasur Bashulam, in he walks, this wise guy, and starts to scream and makes a commotion. Ah, Chizpah! Er gehört gut nicht in dem Colony, doesn't belong to us at all. Kim von dort, von der Heiche, comes from up there, and he comes down here, macht 2 Millionen, and now we have to struggle for Mincha because there's not enough people. Ah, Chizpah! People were just amazed at the brazen attitude of this individual. He didn't. It wasn't finished there because he walked right up to the front and he went to Reb Moshe Feinstein. Hey, die bist der coole Wacken Mensch, huh? And at this point, two of the elders of the people who were davening there, Talmid Chachamim, stood up, and there were tears streaming down his face. And they turned around and they said, Ingelad, we are elder Eden, we are already senior. We haven't got the courage to do this. You're standing by, you're watching the most disgraceful bezoyen atoire there can be, and you're not doing anything about it. So do we too? Oh, guys, get the 2 pesh! The other people were very happy to oblige. And there was already a queue for the guy who was going to pummel them. And as they were getting up towards to go to this fellow and to lynch him, suddenly the old 80-year-old Reb Moshe Feinstein rises from his seat, runs towards this Yid and says, don't touch him, leave him. Er ist gerecht. He's right. I'm only a guest here. I belong to the colony up there. And down here is another Oilem, and therefore I've got, oh, I shouldn't really be making a second minion. But I want you to know one thing. Before we go any further, he should know, I asked the Gabbe Rashis Feirish if I can make another minyan. He said to me with pleasure, but I beg of you one thing. So there, this Yid, don't touch him because of me. And he hugged him around this, and he says, lots him up and don't touch him. At this point, that was the desisting of the commotion. Chaps. Ish Moshe Unav Ma'oid.
What did Moshe say? A few words on his own. No, Moshe said, don't touch him.